Welcome. Today, we're discussing an interesting content about the fragile structure of our modern financial world and the cultural shifts that got us here. Let's dive in. I'm excited to discuss this. It starts with a pretty shocking statement, right? About these massive, supposedly perpetual firms not being so perpetual after all. Person 1. Exactly. The speaker mentions working for UBS and Credit Suisse First Boston, and makes the point that no one ever imagined these institutions wouldn't last forever. It's a huge lesson. Never ever assume that a AAA rating is truly a guarantee of permanence. So, what's causing this fragility? Is it a new phenomenon? Person 1. Well, the argument is that the very nature of business models has shifted in a dangerous way. Think about it. In the past, even a company losing money was selling you on future cash flow. We'll lose money now, but we'll make it back later. That was the promise. Okay, that makes sense. A classic startup model. What's changed? Person 1. The model shifted to selling you funding. The promise wasn't future profit. It was, yeah, we'll just get someone else to fund us. The speaker calls it something that resembles a Ponzi scheme. It's not about creating value. It's just about finding the next investor. Wow. That's a heavy accusation. They're saying the fundamental goalposts moved from profitability to just staying afloat on new money. Person 1. Precisely. The oxygen of a business, as any wise investor like Warren Buffett would tell you, is cash flow. This new generation of businesses, particularly in what the speaker calls pseudo-technology, completely forgot that. They saw funding rounds as their cash machine. And the speaker points to specific sectors we should be worried about. Right? Exactly. Two big ones. First, that pseudo-technology sector we just mentioned, all those unsound tech companies that absorbed insane amounts of money. And the other, which is maybe even scarier, because it feels so tangible, is real estate. Real estate? But that's supposed to be the safe bet. That's the myth. The speaker points out that something like $30 trillion in valuation was created. It's just not sustainable. If your income is $30,000 a year, you can't carry a $500,000 house like you might have in the past. That entire market has to adjust downwards, unless we let massive inflation run wild. Which leads to the central banks, I assume. They're supposed to control inflation. What's the take on their role in all this? Oh, the criticism is scathing. The core idea is that the central banks, like the Fed, used a monetary approach for structural problems. The world had too much debt, and what did they do? They dropped interest rates to zero. I remember that. It was to stimulate the economy after 2008, right? Right. But the speaker calls it a Novocaine policy. It just numbed the pain. It didn't fix the underlying issue. It was purely cosmetic. And now, the Novocaine is wearing off, and we're feeling the consequences. We're going to have to live in a world our grandparents knew, a world where interest rates aren't zero. So that 5% interest rate we see now, that's not high? Person 1. Not at all. The speaker is very clear on this. 5% isn't high, it's normal. We're just returning to the historical average after a long, artificial holiday from reality. This kind of environment, with easy money and zero rates, seems like the perfect breeding ground for speculative assets. I'm guessing this is where crypto comes into the conversation? Person 1. You got it. The speaker calls things like Bitcoin tumors that grew out of this environment. And the critique is fascinating. It's not just that it's volatile. The first point is that it's not even good for its most infamous use case, money laundering. Wait, what? I thought that was the whole point for the bad guys. Person 1. Person 1. Nope, it's too traceable. It's a public ledger, a book entry. Any decent statistician can track it. Gold, you can melt down. Bitcoin, it's all there in the open. But the bigger issue is that it transformed into a cult. A cult? That's a strong word. But I have heard people say, this time is different, it's a generational thing. Person 1. And that's the exact phrase the speaker attacks. When you say something is generational in finance, you're not being innovative, you're glorifying ignorance. Finance has rules, it has gravity. Experience matters. You can't just wish away fundamentals because you're young and excited. I see. So the argument is that this cult of the youth in finance is getting a harsh reality check. Person 1, a huge one. The narrative that it's a refuge, that it's good for transactions, it's all falling apart. The speaker even argues the Federal Reserve could create its own digital currency and put the entire crypto transaction story out of business overnight. It's a complete dismantling of the whole crypto thesis. Now, there's another great story of a fallen giant in here. The Swiss bankers. Yes, this is a perfect example of the main theme. The old Swiss model was simple. They were boring. They took your money. They kept it safe. And they didn't give you much in return. And that was their strength. You went to them for preservation. So they were the ultimate preserve your money institution, not the make money from your money kind. What happened? Person 1. Someone in Zurich decided being boring was, well, too boring. They came to the US, got into complex derivatives, and tried to be scientific. That was the day, the speaker argues, that Swiss bankers stopped being Swiss bankers. But wasn't there also pressure from governments? Person 1. Absolutely. The US government, under the Obama administration, cracked down hard on banking secrecy and tax evasion. That was a huge part of the Swiss business model. Once that was gone, they had to take on more and more complex risks, like risky bonds, to make up for it. And the epilogue is, Swiss no longer. Person 1. Swiss no longer. It's the ultimate cautionary tale that brings us full circle. These firms, once the definition of perpetual and safe, lost their way and proved just as fragile as any other. It all comes back to that first lesson. In finance, you can't take anything for granted. You have to focus on prudence, on cash flow, and on your core business. Whether you're a dentist, a butcher, or a global bank. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Bye-bye.